Blaine and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Happy Thursday to you out there. It's Masters week. Blaine, they're playing golf at the Masters. Are you just so excited about that that you can't contain yourself?
I would say no, but this weekend I will be, though, you know, to see how to, you know, narrows down the field and see who the leaderboard are, you know, guys in the lead, and kind of follow from there. It's just a little much, you know, on a Thursday and a Friday. Got a lot of things going on.
Does no Tiger Woods kind of dampen your enthusiasm for this?
Maybe just a little bit, but, you know, Tiger Woods has been on again, off again, you know, over the last 5 years, not so much so, but definitely when he's in the hunt, it makes it a little more intriguing to see if he can reinvent himself and play to that Tiger level that he's only got back to a couple times. So if he's in a hunt, yeah, but I mean, that doesn't make me want to watch it. You know, back in the day, of course. Yeah, when he was, you know, he was the guy. Oh, absolutely. I was all in on the weekend. But, you know, here lately, you know, the last 5 years, his game is up and down like a roller coaster. He's changed it so many times with all the back surgeries and everything else. Tip the cap to him. Hopefully he gets better here after the crash. I don't know if he'll be able to play golf again. A lot of people haven't talked about it, but he at least is done golfing for a year for sure. So, yeah, there's a lot of young, new talent and guys to watch. And, you know, so, yeah, I get excited for those guys, though.
I asked a question, tweeted this out earlier on Blaine and Mickey's Twitter account. By the way, if you're not following Blaine and Mickey on Twitter, what are we doing here? At Blaine and Mickey. It's easy to find. Just follow it and find it. And do those things. At BBishop23, at Mickey Ryan 1045. You can follow us there. I thought, okay, what would be the options? Freaking out. 13% of people say they are freaking out about the Masters. I thought it would be a little bit higher than that, just because we all know that golf guy or gal or both or a few of those people who we know that are literally sitting at work right now with the Masters up on their computer watching it, or they called in sick today, or they worked from home today. And I know people who live for Masters week. Like, I've got a couple buddies who this is bigger to them than the Super Bowl, which is beyond me, but it is. They love the Masters.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
13% say they are freaking out. 29% say pretty excited. 32% say, we'll watch some, I guess. And 26%, Blaine, say, don't even care. But I would have thought those numbers would have trended a little higher. So we'll put this out there. We'll have time to take some calls today, 615-737-1045. I want to hear from, like, total Masters geek, like the person who's completely freaked out about this. You know, you've been to the tournament, you've eaten a pimento cheese sandwich, you got like the Masters flag that hangs up in your man cave. I want to hear from one of those or some of those people today, like the people who are completely jacked about it, because I'm excited about it because it's a big thing. Here's why it's a big deal to me. Just because when somebody wins this, and I was trying to write some stuff down, like as far as an individual thing to win in your life. I mean, I would think there's Olympic gold medal, Wimbledon, Masters, you know, maybe it's an individual person, a NASCAR championship or some kind of racing championship, or, you know, it used to be, Blaine, you and me are old enough to remember this. If you were like the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing, you were a big deal. I mean, like Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson. I mean, if you were
MMA, so now that's MMA.
It would have to be, right? Because those guys are a much bigger deal right now than boxers. But yeah, I mean, if you're the one thing about the MMA, they just seem to fight so much more often. You know, it'd be a long time between fights for some of those boxers who were big in the 80s and the 70s and on before that. Seems like those MMA folks fight each other constantly. I mean, they're constantly fighting. So, but yeah, certainly if you hold a championship belt, that'd be a big deal. But to me, it's just a big deal because you think about how hard people work to be great at something. So you work hard enough to be great at golf that you could be on the PGA Tour. And then even to play in the Masters, it's not a big field like some of the other tournaments. So it's hard to even get into. But then to play your best in the most prestigious tournament, to me, that there is, that's just such a life-changing thing. And you watch those guys put on those green jackets, and some guys win it more than once, like Jack Nicklaus or Tiger or whoever the case may be. But for some of these guys, like, that's their one big thing that they do. But think about it. You win one major, or you win a handful of tournaments, you win the John Deere Open or something, but then you win the Masters. I mean, you're a Masters champion for the rest of your life. I just think something like that is so cool.
Well, I mean, no doubt about it. Whenever you win anything that's prestigious in any event, or sport that you're doing, it doesn't have to be individualized. You could be MVP of a Super Bowl, MVP of a World Series. To me, those are individual goals, even though you're on a team, doing things. So, yeah, I think kind of, create your legacy and how you'll be remembered because of the prestige that goes into those great events. And that's why it's called the major. So yeah, no question about it. But to me, as the actual athlete, you got to approach it like any other tournament.
Yeah.
And I think when it's over with, then that's when you realize, and that's why all those guys get so emotional at the end, because they know where this stands on the history books, as far as majors and winning, and this is at the top of the list.
All right, I got to tell you this because I walked through the yard earlier. I guess when they built my house 30 something years ago, there were like 10 bricks left over, and they're in a pile behind the house. And I went and I selected one of those bricks today, and I sort of set it away from the pile so I could easily find it. Saw a mock draft this morning that has the Titans taking a tackle, guy from Michigan, Jalen Mayfield,
I
at
was
number
wondering where you was
22.
going with this brick.
At number 22. Also, my neighbor pointed out yesterday, I guess one of his kids came into my yard and got one of these bricks from behind my house and put it in his yard. So I was like, that's fine. You can keep the brick if you want. I said, I may need it 3 weeks from this was yesterday. I said, I may actually need that brick 3 weeks from tomorrow, because the draft is 3 weeks from today. It starts 3 weeks from today. Michigan offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield, he's like 6'5 and 320. I mean, he's full size. The scouting reports on him are all great. It's a guy named Luke Easterling who's with Draft Wire with USA Today. But I've said, if they draft offensive tackle in the first round, a second year in a row, I feel like I'm gonna throw a brick through my TV.
Now,
So
you're changing. You said you feel like you're going to throw a brick through your TV. No, you said you would throw a brick through your
I
TV.
did say that, didn't I? They can't, can they? And here's the thing you
Hey.
said when I said that. Anything can happen. And don't be surprised if they feel like they got to chase this and fix this
Yeah.
after drafting the Panda and it not working out. They still have the need. They still need somebody to play the position. They got bamboozled. They cut the Undertaker. So don't be surprised if they go chase that and try to fix it. They're going to do it, aren't they? I just feel like it now. You make some outrageous statement. I feel like I need to identify a brick and a TV that I'm not in love with in my house.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But I would lean if they went offensive lineman. I would like that guard center guy that if you're gonna go and he's the number one guy on the board because most of those guys don't go super high.
Right.
Like the Alabama center or somebody like that. Because they had some injury issues inside. From the guard to the guard on the other side. I wouldn't be surprised with Saffold and Ben Jones kind of been beat up a little bit. It was a little concerning, and they're over 30. So
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route. Can't you get one in the second round? Just so you don't have to, buy a new TV. So,
Oh, or a new brick.
yeah. But I think the window is open to, I know they have a lot of different needs, but I think John Robinson's ideal candidate for that spot is the best player available on the board. When you're typically at the bottom of a draft and you're 22 and it's only 32, you want to probably get the best player at that position, especially if you need that need in a year from now. And I'm gonna say this, and a lot of people are not gonna think about it. It could be a linebacker. People are like, they don't need a linebacker. Well, Evans and Brown, I got one more year. Sorry. See, so you have to think for, I mean, I know everybody says we need now. Well, guess what? If he doesn't play right now, or if somebody gets injured, or Jayon Brown's elbow doesn't work out, or what have you, next thing you know, he's on the field. Guess what? You know what he can do. See ball, go get ball. Special teams all day long.
All day.
And you put him out there in certain situations, or, I mean, what if they got your guy from Tulsa? I mean, most people think he's a linebacker that can then rush, in passing situations. Sounds just like Evans. Except that didn't work out
Oh,
like
y'all,
Evans.
no,
It sounds
y'all,
just like Evans, but he wasn't a pass rusher. He was a linebacker
no,
that blitzed. He was like,
right.
I said that from the whole time. If you're not handing the dirt or rushing a passer down in and down out, I just don't recommend that that's what you think you're going to do in the National Football League unless you're a super gifted guy.
Right.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked whatever direction they go. It's going to be interesting because we have to, turn in who we think they're going to pick tomorrow. It's due day. at the golf classic. No, the golf tournament. 104.5 the zone golf tournament. It's still That's going true. On, right, Lucas? Lucas looks like he's so bored. He's looking up at the TV. You're watching,
watching the Masters.
Lucas, where do you fall on the scale of the four answers we gave? Are you like totally
a youngster?
I know. Are you like totally geeked out about this? Or are you like, yeah, man, this is cool, or having to watch some of it? Because you're watching it now. You're not listening to us, Knuckleheads. What do you think?
I'm multitasking. The interest goes gradually increases, right, as the weekend moves along. Like, I'm not glued to my TV on Thursday. But on Sunday, I'm either glued to my TV at home or wherever I am, I'm glued to my phone watching it on the Masters app, which is always clutch.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt about it. I'm just like Lucas there. So, dang, I'm a youngster.
The hard part is, it seems like every year, there's a dude who could win the thing and just folds like a taco. And then that dude's got, to live with that for
it's
the rest
a wet
of his
taco,
life,
right?
Oh, like a soft taco, dude.
Oh, soft.
Not the crunchy tacos my mom used to serve, you know, in the 70s on taco night. I'm talking about like the soft taco that just folds easy. There's always somebody that just folds under the freaking pressure at the Masters.
You can get hot too in the first round, and you say, okay, let's see what they do in the second round. I mean, that always happens. And they can't deal with the pressure. They always say pressure bust pipes there, Lucas. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that phrase before, because that's way back in the day, but pressure does bust pipes.
Lucas can say that in four different languages, dude. He is our multilingual international gentleman of leisure, Lucas.
All right,
he can
say, and you can pick any language, pressure can bust pipes in any language. Go.
Oh god. The word pipes is escaping me. I can say a pressão pode quebrar. I can say pressure will break in Portuguese, but pipes is escaping me. You put me on the spot.
Okay, so you can say it in English. You can say it in Portuguese. Well, come on. You got at least one.
Well, tell us, give us something, and then we'll go look it up. It'll take us like 2 hours to figure out what you said. Like, don't be Googling on your phone.
Oh, come on, Lucas.
What do you want from me here?
Well, give us something saying that you know. It's something that you know. It make it attached to sports, you know. Anything.
Eu tô aqui trabalhando com esses velhinhos aqui.
Oh, wow. What was that? I don't
know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
I don't want to tell you what I said.
You probably said this show sucks.
I said, I'm sitting here working with these two old guys at the radio station.
I'm sitting here with two
old guys. Wait, I missed that. My computer messed up. What'd you say?
He called us old. He said, I'm sitting here with two old guys at the radio station. Come on, man.
That is not sports related. That was a personal dig. You wait till I see you. They better keep me out of that studio. I'm going to get you.
All right. This is off the rails. We need Alex Doherty to get it back on the rails. The Preds have been rolling. Injuries beat dang. They don't care who plays, who doesn't. Talk some Preds next with Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports. Including maybe some guys coming back tonight who are injured. We'll get to into all that next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. And what's crazy is they've had some real key injuries, and they've really come together and wanted 10 of 12. They're fourth in the Central. They're in the playoff hunt. It's just always interesting to me to see a team come together. And we've gotten to see the Preds do that this year. It's been fun to watch. Really doesn't matter who's in there. Different guys are contributing. Some of the young guys are really, Ely Tolvanen is kind of who we hoped he would be when he was a first-round pick, but this has been exciting to watch.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, though, personally, in that it took the young players playing and pushing the veteran players to play better once they came back from injury for the team to come together. However it may be, we're happy as fans, but then that means I don't want those veteran players. It shouldn't take that. You should understand the competition, the competitive nature, and the intensity level that you have to bring each and every night. That's what you're paid to do. See, so some of these guys have gotten long-term contracts and kind of set back and said they're just doing enough to get by instead of, you know, playing with that extra little grit that you need when you were chasing that contract. So it's a little disappointing. And ultimately, it's made the team better. Now better guys have come back, and now they held to a different standard because they say, hey, man, we know what the young player did. If you don't do that, then we're going to take you out. Yeah, so whether you want to be here or not, you better play up to the standard, or if not, we'll ship you out. So good for them. They got to where they needed to be, and now they're on the same course, and we as fans are happy. Now they're in a conundrum, you know, as the GM and the coach to,
uh-oh. Yeah. All right, what are we selling? What are we actually selling? I mean, do right. we really want to sell that? Or, you know, this commodity here is actually going really good. Now that he's come back, he's healthy. He looks like the player we thought he was going to be. Really? Don't fall for the okie doke, Poyo and Coach Hines. I mean, you don't fall for it. He told you who he was when things weren't going well. Mm-mm. That's like when the guy in the NFL gets a big contract and then all of a sudden shuts it down. Or has a big year, the year of his contract, free agency. Nope, do not sign that guy. Do not. He will go back to the norm of who he is, and that was, oh, I'll play when I want to play. Man, I wish I was that gifted to do something like that. Play yeah. when I want to play. Like, oh, I'm going to go hard. I'm a free agent this year. I got to get paid. Man, crap. I act like every play, it was about getting paid. That's why my neck is hurting right now even thinking about it. Can't even believe guys do that. It just baffles me.
But there are guys that do that.
It is.
It's and amazing.
And those are the ones from all those who's been listening to it for a long time. They hear my high-pitched voice. Will quadruple that. Yeah. And those are the dudes I used to be getting after in practice. Like, hey, dude, man. What are you doing, man? You're going to get me killed in practice. like Bruce Matthews just swallowed me. What are you doing? I mean, I don't exist if you do that. You better make the play if that happens again, bro, because that hurt.
Oh, Bruce would get you, huh, in practice?
Oh, man, I was like, dude, I can't even see. Where's the world? I can see the sky. We're down in the 46 coming down the bottom. I'm like, how is this? The offensive lineman running right at me and I can't see. Somebody didn't do their job. I mean, they call that jump throughs. You just let the guy run freely and just come and smash me?
No.
Well, how about you trip him or something? Yeah, I mean, practice, you are 300 right? pounds.
Alex Doherty, he doesn't weigh 300 pounds. He's a regular size guy. A to Z Sports, he joins us now. So, Alex, we're talking before you jump on. And, you know, how did we get to this point? Because they kind of got forced into a youth movement because of injuries and things. But yet here we are. They fought their way into fourth place in the division. How in the world did we finally get here with this team?
Well, there's one person I would say is most responsible, and he's also not 300 pounds. In fact, I don't think he's even half that. And that would be UC Soros, the diminutive goaltender for the Predators, who has been absolutely lighting it up in terms of not stopping or stopping goals for the Predators. He's been absolutely crazy for the Predators right now. He's got, in his last 12 games, he's basically stopping 96% of shots, and he's got two shutouts in there. He's, in my opinion, he's making a case, at least a late case, for being a finalist for the Vezina. Now, he's probably not going to get there because he's probably not got enough wins. He's not going to get enough shutouts. He's not going to get enough numbers. But he's been as good as any goaltender in this last 12 games as any goaltender in the league. So it's really him. I mean, goaltending can steal games for you, and he's been doing that. So I think if they could have two UC Soros, they would do that. Pecorino has been okay. In backup, but he's 38, and usually Soros is the guy. So it's all about goaltending right now for this Predators team.
I saw you tweeting about UC Soros. Really, it doesn't even seem like this is getting noticed because of the hole that they dug at the start of the season. You know, him and the entire team really doesn't seem like he's getting a whole lot of notice at this point. Maybe that's good because they still seem to be under everybody's radar.
Yeah, exactly. The Vezina is voted on by the GMs of the league. I think probably most GMs in the league just wrote off the Predators pretty early on, as many fans did as well. And so they stopped paying attention to them, and they just knew they were sellers, and so they're not looking back. But at this point, the numbers don't lie. He's been among the best goaltenders as anyone. The Predators have played okay defense in front of him. I mean, they haven't played great defense in front of him, but they've played okay. And they've been marginally better at scoring, especially considering that they've not had Philip Forsberg and Matthew Shane, and then Victor Arvidsson missed on Tuesday. But it's been all about goaltending. I mean, honestly, it comes down to that. If you can stop pucks, you can win games.
Alex Doherty joins Blaine and Mickey. He's at Alex Doherty1 on Twitter, covering the Preds for A to Z Sports.
Well, Alex, I guess with 16 games left, right? It's, I think 16 games left. You think they can hang on to a playoff spot? You think this can happen?
Well, it certainly seems like they've got the upper hand now. They, you know, a while back, I think I said something like, if they even go on a 10-game, there was a point in the season where if they even went on a 10-game winning streak, I think I calculated it that they still wouldn't be in a playoff spot if they went on a 10-game winning streak. So they basically did that, and they found themselves in a playoff spot. I think that's because other teams have fallen, like Chicago, Dallas has not been as good, Florida has not been as strong as they were. So, you know, I did not think it was possible a month ago, and I still don't know if it's possible, but looking at the and looking at the schedule, they've got some really tough games coming up, and they've got to play Tampa a couple more times. They've got to play Dallas a couple more times. They still have to play Carolina, I think, four more times. That's going to be really tough to come out with more points than Carolina on that. But the teams they're competing with are not doing as good either. Chicago's fallen off. Of course, Detroit's way down in the standings. Dallas has not been very consistent, and Florida's not as good. I mean, and they had a pretty big loss on their team with Aaron Ekblad going out. So the Red Sea has parted, and there is a possibility that they can get to the other side safe and dry and in the playoffs. And I cannot believe I'm saying that now, whereas a month ago we were talking about lottery picks and number one overall odds.
Yeah, let alone we were talking about, you know, who do you sell and who, you know,
right,
or what have you.
Yeah, exactly. And that has essentially stopped. I mean, we are now 4 days from the trade deadline, and there is zero talk of the Predators trading anything. I mean, all of the major talking heads nationally who pay attention and who have all the insider information, none of them are mentioning the Predators right now. That really tells you all you need to know. All the Matthias Ekholm on the trade boards has just fallen almost completely off. The only one that's still on there is Mikhail Granlund, who could be traded, but I don't know if they really have the room to be able to trade someone like that now, because they just don't have enough bodies. People are falling left and right, so they're probably not going to trade him either. I don't know who they could trade at this point, and if they even will do that. So it could be a very, very quiet trade deadline for the Predators.
Well, one more thing, Alex, and you talked about it. That was the juice. Soros has been playing off the charts. Do you give him a bridge contract, or do you give him some long-term deal? How do you approach that?
Well, it's tricky because, you know, this was kind of a prove-it year for him. He's an RFA at the end of this, summer he's an RFA. I think that they'll definitely keep him. I mean, there's no reason they wouldn't. I think Pecorine, if he doesn't retire, he will be back cheaply. So, UC Soros, I think, could probably get a bridge contract of maybe 2 years, something like that. That would get him to his UFA year. I think that's a pretty common thing for teams to go with a bridge contract that gets you to 27, 28, so you can get to that UFA year for your next big contract. And then the other thing is that the big dark horse is, you know, when does their number one overall pick, or not number one overall, but number one first round pick, Askarov, the Russian goaltending phenom, when does he come over? That won't happen soon, but that's, you got to consider that as well. So UC Soros, I think, probably gets another couple years, and then, you know, we'll see. But he's not going to get some sort of long-term, you know, 8-year deal or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Cool. We're on with Alex Doherty with A to Z covering the Predators.
What's the latest on the injury front? Short-term-wise, I saw maybe Arvey said to come back tonight, Arvidsson, but maybe not Fabro. Is that right for those two guys? And then what about all the longer-term guys?
Yeah, so Victor Arvidsson, it looks like he's going to come back tonight against Detroit, and then but not Fabro. Still don't know about him. The other guys, particularly the two main ones, Forsberg and Duchesne, technically, I think the week-to-week guideline from them is still in place, but I believe David Poile said recently that they're aiming to have them back sometime after the trade deadline, so as early as next week. Some of the other guys you really just don't know. I mean, Ryan Ellis, that injury is such a mystery, and you know, there were people who were thinking that he could be out for the rest of the year. Maybe that's true. Maybe he's just out until the playoffs if they get there. And then some of the other guys that we don't see as much, Brad Richardson, Lucas Sabisa, Mark Borbiewski, those are probably season enders. I mean, I just don't see any reason for those guys to come back this year. But and then Alex Carrier is the other one. Alex Carrier, you miss him. He's been really good for the Predators. he's probably out 3 to 5 weeks. That would put him definitely missing at least the first round of the playoffs.
You mentioned Matt Duchene. Obviously, Forsberg has had some great moments this year. He's just Forsberg, and he does the things that we're all used to seeing him do. There's got to be a lot of pressure on Matt Duchene. This is where he wanted to be. It seemed inevitable that it was going to happen, and then it finally happened. And, Alex, he's been an almost guy. Like, you're like, gosh, Duchene almost had that one. Gosh, that was almost a brilliant goal by Duchene. It's been so much almost. You just really, because he seems like such a great dude. He's been on the station a bunch. You just really hope against hope that when he comes back, you could finally, and it's not like he's supposed to be this gigantic goal scorer, but he is a guy that's supposed to be able to do more offensively than we've seen him do.
Yeah, it's, you said it exactly right. He's been, I don't really understand how it's happened, but he has had the two lowest career shooting percentages in his career in Nashville. Last year, he shot 9.6%, and this year he's shooting 5.8%. Too low. He's a career like 12% shooter, so it's way low, way below his average. Now that tells you two things. Number one, it tells you he's probably due. He's probably going to increase that. So when he comes back, look out. You know, he's probably going to get some goals here and there, maybe get some lucky bounces. But it also tells you that he might. You know, typically towards the end of someone's career, you lose speed first. And Matt Duchene has been a speed player for his career. I mean, his career shooting has been about creating speed or using his speed to create goals. It's not been necessarily, he doesn't have the same lethal shot that Forsberg have or even that James Neal had when he was here. He creates his goals at his speed. So that's why he has such a high career shooting percentage. So maybe he's losing a little bit of that speed. I wouldn't say so yet, but you know, I think that when he comes back, he'll probably improve on that and put some goals in the net. And the Predators could use that. I mean, like, there's no reason that if Matt Duchene comes back, they're not going to not play him just because some other guys have been hot. He's going to get in the lineup. There's no doubt about that.
Alex Doherty in our lineup right now from A to Z Sports talking Preds here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Alex, I guess I want to ask you about how you think they'll fare naturally against Detroit in this weekend versus Tampa Bay. How do you think they'll fare going through a little bit of tough times there this weekend with Tampa Bay.
Detroit looks pretty done at this point in the season.
Right.
They actually put up a pretty good fight on Tuesday. You gotta give them credit. But I would say they probably will beat the Detroit Red Wings tonight and finish up that series with, I think, 6 games out of 8, I think is what they will end up at doing. Tampa is another game altogether. I mean, Tampa is a behemoth. They are excellent at all areas. Andre Vasilevsky, he's going to win the Vezina Trophy. He is the best goaltender in the league. They have probably the best defense in the league, and they've got incredible goal scorers all over the place. So, they play Tampa twice, two more times the rest of this year, this Saturday and then next Monday, I believe. If you can win one of those, you can get 2 points out of those two games, you've got to win. And maybe you learn something about the team in the process, because that's who you're going to play in the playoffs if you make the playoffs in that fourth seed. So,
tough deal. I guess last for me, and I touched on it before you came on air, but that is, how disappointing is it that, the veteran players weren't playing with the competitive nature until all of them got hurt, and then the young guys started playing, and then they start seeing how they were playing and kind of pushed them to play a little more competitive and tougher and all those things that go with it. I mean, that's a little disappointing for me as a former professional athlete, but never on a hockey or on the ice. But, man, how do you view that?
Yeah, I mean, what do they say about hungry dogs? I mean, they get the food first. So, like, I don't know that there's any hungrier players in the league than players who are 21, 22, 23 years old, maybe 24, who want to go out and either earn a paycheck or earn a spot or earn some notoriety. I mean, not that guys like Forsberg, I mean, you see Forsberg and Roman Josi, those guys are just incredibly talented. They work hard every single night. There's no doubt about that. But then you got guys like Elli Tolvanen, Luke Kunin, Jakob Trenin, even Jeremy Davies, Matthew Olivier. These are all guys that are under 25 years old. They want to make a name for themselves, and they are doing it every night. I mean, those are all names that have scored big goals, played big minutes recently. I mean, these are guys that want to go out there and contribute. So it makes the offseason a little strange, you know, going out and signing people like Nick Cousins or Brad Richardson and even Eric Halla, who are all plenty older than those guys. So if you're a Preds fan, you like where the team kind of ended up in that all these young guys are contributing. And who knows how many of these young guys will be long-term deals. Luke Cunningham is a name that I don't know how much longer he's going to stick around, but he's certainly proved it in the short term. It's good for Preds fans because they finally see the young guys coming up and contributing. And now some of the old guys can come back. And I say old, I mean, Phil Forsberg's like 26. So
yeah,
Matthew Shane is 30. So they're not old, but it'll be interesting to watch when those guys return.
Man, I wish I was old like those guys. Wish I was 30. Boy, I'd be so old. What would I do with myself? I was 30. All the blame to Mickey. Let me ask you about one more young guy. What can we expect from David Ferentz?
Yeah, so it's interesting because the projected lineup has him in the a possible appearance tonight, which would be his debut.
Yeah.
Boy, David Ferentz is really, really exciting. I mean, people have compared him to all kinds of players. I don't really get into the comparison game. I don't really follow him that much. I mean, I don't watch a ton of collegiate hockey, but the people that I know do are very, very high on him. He's a great offensive prospect that's improved his defensive game. And he's a very much an offensive defenseman. He's got great puck skills, great speed, great edge work, great goal scoring ability. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, he sort of tracks along with like the Roman Josi style rather than like the Shea Weber style. Not to say he's going to be one of those guys, but he would be more of a highly skilled skating guy. And, you know, if we see him tonight, he's probably going to be paired with someone like Ben Harper and really maybe not get a chance to shine quite as much. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And I know that David Poile is extremely high on David Ferentz. So when he signed immediately after BU's season ended, that was big news for David Poile, because now he knows he's got that guy for two more years.
It's one of the craziest things to me about hockey is just the timetable of when dudes arrive to the team, but like the finish with his eligibility finishes his NCAA season and then just shows up in the NHL late in the season. Guy, that's one of my favorite storylines. I love it. I know. I'm super pumped about this.
It's so great. I mean, remember Elli Tolvanen when he played what, like 100 hockey games in 100 yes. days or something? He was all over Europe and he's playing in the Olympics, and then he comes and he plays in a couple games, and notably, he was a little gassed by the time he got to Nashville, yeah. So he couldn't quite do what he was. So maybe a little bit of that with David Ferentz, maybe hold the expectations back a little bit, but he hasn't played quite as much, and I think BU's season ending early was kind of a surprise. So, it is kind of fun watching these guys. I mean, and it's always this time of year, right, because college hockey's ending, and other players are their minor leagues or the junior leagues are ending their season. And COVID, of course, affects all of this. So that's another thing to consider. So it'll be fun. David Ferentz is a guy that I think Predators fans are immediately going to say, hey, that's a guy for the future that we are. I'm glad that we have him in the lineup. It makes dealing with, you know, the Jareds and Nordys that you have to go through and the Ben Harpers and the guys that are just going to kind of come and go make a lot more sense, because now you've got some pieces for the future to work with.
Good stuff, Alex, man. Always good catching up with you. A to Z Sports. He is at Alex Doherty, one on Twitter. You can occasionally even see him pick a little guitar on there. It's insane. So follow him today.
Super talented.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You and no Mickey doubt. Gonna make an album or something?
Got to put it together, man. Got to get an all media band. Need to find a drummer.
If you live in Nashville and don't have an album, I mean, do you really even live in Nashville? So.
No. Blaine does not. He does not have an album. So he does not
care. We're going
to
make
we'll have
one,
to put him. We'll put him on our album. How about that? Yeah.
Then I'm a rhinestone cowboy.
There you go.
All right. But we need to ride out of this Star Spangled Rodeo. Thank you, Alex. We appreciate it, man.
All right.
Hey,
see you guys
what
later.
Is a final four? What does a final four run get you as a coach? $4 million. I'll explain. Next, Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. The ESPN has this poll of way too early rankings for next year. UCLA's number two. So it looks like they could keep this running going for a while.
Yeah, because there was a threat that he may leave and go somewhere.
Yeah.
Really? Where are UCLA? Where are you going? One of the best programs in the history of college basketball. Oh, he's not going to Duke. He's not going to Kentucky. Where would he go? Come on. I would have waited and said, well, let's see what you do next year. And they go, oh, well, it would have got higher. No, it wouldn't have. No, y'all would have gave you the same thing. Maybe you got a couple, you know, 200 grand more each year. But no, I'll take that gamble. You're not going nowhere, man. So every time you do well, you get a bump. Come on. Please. Yep. Well, hey, I'm waiting on you, Kimless. I'm waiting to get my bump. I'll be waiting forever.
Coaching is the greatest, though, man. I mean, you can come and go as you please. Now I know you can get fired. So before any coach texts me and goes, dude,
it's guaranteed money, though. You get the money. And by the way, you could cheat and still have a job for 2 years, then get fired and say, oh, well, I'm going to go to the NBA.
Or you could be Bill Self, or you could get a lifetime contract while you're being investigated for cheating.
And with no AD.
No AD. A fan, a booster, had the AD job, the temporary AD job. Like a guy graduated. Just think, you're like a big booster for your favorite school, and they make you the AD because you were good at business. And during the few months that you're the – because they've already hired somebody. They found somebody. But while they had the interim AD, he gave Bill Self –
right now, man, I'm putting my resume in right now to every NCAA football program in the country that pays over $1 million.
So Ball State calls you
because they don't pay over $1 million.
But let's say they did. They fire the AD and they're like, Blaine, man, you love this university. Come in and be the AD. And you're like, yeah, man, that's cool. I'll come
the AD,
the interim AD, because that's what they did with this guy, business guy. Interim AD, he comes in, you could give Mike New a lifetime contract, your former teammate.
Yeah, former quarterback. I would do that in a heartbeat. Hey, you can do this? Oh, we could do that at Ball State too. Oh, yeah, man. Let's give you a lifetime contract. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, that's just for PR purposes. It's really only a 3-year deal here at Ball State, man. I don't want you to go nowhere. So, yeah, but I wouldn't do that. But hey, that's how it goes, right? Hey, man.
That's amazing. And they're in the middle of a big investigation, which seems like it's never going to end, that was tipped off because the FBI was investigating college basketball. And Kansas just said, screw you to everybody. We're going to give this guy a lifetime. We don't care what you think. That is amazing. I mean, that is an extended middle finger to the NCAA, to everybody involved. They're not even waiting to see what happens, what the findings are. We don't care.
Yeah, they might as well just branch off. I mean, they just might as well, really. I mean, in the NCAA, you know, basketball, that's the heartbeat of the NCAA. Now they'd be like, hey, we can't have y'all go anywhere. But we won't suspend them. We won't do anything to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We understand.
And you know, that's probably being held over somebody's head down there. Like, okay, come at us. Guess what? We don't need you. You know, we'll take our Power Five. We'll go do our own thing. Make our own money. Print our own dang money. Have our own basketball tournament. You know, then you can have everybody else who's left. You can have the other guys.
And the NCAA don't want that.
They don't want it.
Hey, UT needs to take a page out of that book for football, man. I hope they don't get no fines, no bowl. Just give them a little, you guys can't go to a bowl game. And then they were like, they wouldn't have went to a bowl game anyway. Who's the school that did that? Self-imposed, and they were was it Arkansas? Who was it? Self-imposed a bowl to them, and they weren't going to be going to no bowl game anyway.
Oh gosh,
I was like, oh, that was nice. That was good. But no, LSU. It was LSU. LSU. It hit me just now. LSU. Yeah, I was like, oh man, they just threw in the season. Well, they in trouble now, though. Oh, Orgera, you better watch out now. They coming. There's a title nine and all kind of crap on that campus that was underground and now is coming out.
Oh no, it's all out there. Coach O.
Yep, I'm already making a bold prediction on who's gonna be the next coach. The Louisiana coach.
I knew that dude seems like he's holding out for that job.
He is waiting to make a move.
Billy Napier.
Yep, Billy Napier. Yeah, because if not, he would have taken some other job. There's no way. He's like, nah, I'm just slow play this. I don't have to move my family, but like, you know, a city over.
Yeah, for people who wonder, he's at the University of, I call it Louisiana Lafayette. They want to be called the University of Louisiana, but it's Louisiana Lafayette. That dude was an assistant at Clemson and Alabama. Mm-hmm. You talk about credentials? And Louisiana Lafayette, that's a good program. Like, he's a really good coach. Mm-hmm. And he's just been turning down. He is waiting for Orgeron to get thrown out. Somebody must have told him on the trustees or something, don't take anything else. Ed's going to shoot himself in the foot sooner or later. And like you said, you move a few towns over, you wouldn't even, you know, just hold on. Don't take some other job. That's sure what it seems like with Napier, because he's not nothing. Yeah. Stonewall everything.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how this all plays out. Then he's going to be like, yeah, play right into my hands. I was just patient. Patient to my turn. Just like Lucas. He was patient to his turn. And then he, next thing you know, he's, you know, producing the best show in America.
Yeah, and
the Buck Rising show. That's right.
Yeah, with us and, you know, everything that we have in common and everything.
He called us old in a different language earlier. Come on, man. Don't be that guy.
That was Portuguese. I said, say something sports related. He just, oh, man. That's one of those ones you dunk on him and you dunk on his head and you land up.
You put me on the spot and I lashed out. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. All you had to do. Oh, that's what it was. That was on the spot. I mean, you don't know any. Man, that's your land. That's your land, man. That's your language.
The default setting was to dunk on us. So, whew, man, we've dunked our first hour of the show. We got to come back, take a swing at the second hour.
He could not have been the athlete because he acted way too sensitive. Blaine, you messed up right there. Why did you do that? Because I got no wrong answer. Because you shouldn't have done that. That's how it goes in the meeting, except with a few explicitives. You know, they
We already had
levels too, man. You'd be like, oh,
we had one of those. We had an explicitive sneak out earlier this week already on this program with the guests.
Oh, man. Oh, Dan Dockage. Oh, Dan Dockage was a hoop, boy. He was awful. I was like, just keep it moving. Don't act like he said anything.
Yeah. Don't call attention to it, Dan. Hey, sorry, guys. Didn't mean to say the S-bomb on you. All right, hour number two. We'll try to get things back on the rails. Lucas will have an update coming up in just moments.
He'll tell
you who's winning. In Portuguese and English, telling you who is winning the Masters. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.